I just want to say I'm very thankful to be in the house of the Lord with His people this morning. I count it a rare privilege, which is not to say that I don't get to do it very often, but it's something that is a rare commodity in the world, or something that's rare in the world today, is to be able to hear the songs of Zion, hear testimonies of the deliverance of the Lord, see lives that have been changed by the power of His blood. I've been thinking recently, I have a thought that the Lord has inspired me with, and I would say that it's probably the most beautiful thought that I know of, what the Lord's gift is to us. I'd like to speak about God's unspeakable gift this morning. I'd like y'all to pray for me. Our Sunday school lesson, which I very much appreciated, was talking about expressing appreciation. To do that, we have to know what we're doing it for. And sometimes I think that we sing the songs about God's unspeakable gift. And I was talking to Brother Marty at Monarch, and his comments on this is what really got my mind going. He said, what good is a gift if you don't know what it is? Or if you don't know how to use it? If somebody gives me a tool and it looks pretty, and so I set it on a shelf, but I don't ever utilize all the functions, or if I utilize some of them, but I don't utilize them all, then if I know what part of it does, then I appreciate it in part. But if I know how it works, then I'm able to make use of it. And I want to say this morning that God's gift, people down through the years have written songs about it. This time of year, I get to thinking about songs that say things like, He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. What's the song that says, chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppressions will cease. What does that mean to you this morning? I want to say, it'll take me a little bit to get to my real burden, but you know God wants us to know Him. And that's my burden this morning. There are a lot of aspects to God's gift and what it does. But I want to focus in on this one, that God wants us to know Him. And the Lord has always wanted His people to know Him. I want to visit a few verses in the Old Testament, but first I want to read one that we probably all are familiar with. In Hebrews 11 and 13. Talking about the prophets, men of old that had faith in God, had power with God, were called the friend of God. It said that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. When they saw those things, what do you think that they saw? When they had a vision of what was to come, we get an idea from some of the things that David wrote and Isaiah, and we'll read some of those, but it said that they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were, because they saw what was afar off, and how much better it was than what they currently had. Do you realize that God wanted them to know Him then too? But there was a dimension that they could not experience that the Redeemer Christ brought, bridged the gap. The song said, what a mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And because Jesus came, and because God gave, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, because He brought that gift, you and I are able to know Him in a dimension that never could have been done, which is why the prophets and the people back then looked forward, and it said that they hadn't received the promises, but they embraced them. And because of that, because they realized what was going to happen and they prophesied about it, it said that they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Yeah. You know, one of the most fortunate people, I believe, in the Bible was Simeon. What more could you want in life than to grow old, having read the promises, and you read in Isaiah, the people which sat in darkness have seen a great light, and the Lord speak to you one day and say, you're going to see this. And then, when he saw the baby, he said, I can die now. What more would you want in life? What more would you want in life than to see the great fulfillment of all the things, the culmination of the law? Do you know Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. All the things in the law pointed to something that was to come, that was greater. God has always wanted to share His heart with us. Think about Samuel. I believe Brother Michael preached a message here recently about the call of God and how the Lord talked to Samuel. And it said that, and we won't turn there, but there's a verse in there that says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him, but the Lord came and wanted to speak to him. You know the Lord wants to speak with each one of us this morning. You know what Samuel had to do to get that? He had to get quiet. And he had to put aside any, maybe he was sleepy. Maybe he had a busy day the next day. Maybe he was a little bit afraid of what would happen. But when the Lord spoke to him, but he put aside all, I don't know what was in his mind. And he said, Lord, you have something to say. Why do you think the Lord didn't just say what he had to say? Samuel, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something. Because he wanted Samuel to respond. And he wants you and I to respond today. You know, a lot of times I think that we can get lots of loudness and noise and business and thoughts and prejudices and thoughts that we want to hold on to and grudges that we want to treat like a pet and keep them around because they feel good. And the Lord has things he wants to tell us. I want to go back to the scripture in Hebrews. We won't turn back there, but I want us to think about it again. It said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I want to go through and read a few of the scriptures that the Lord brought to my mind when I was thinking about this. Do you think that Isaiah just wrote his book without having a clue what it meant or the implications of what was going to happen, that the Lord just inspired him and he just wrote words but nobody knew what it meant? He had a vision. You know, that was part of the Lord sharing his heart with Isaiah and all those that would open their heart. He gave them, I looked through the Old Testament and the things that the Lord did for people that he called his friend, Abraham, Jacob, Isaiah says, I'll just read a few verses here. We won't turn to them. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and in his name, listen folks, these words mean something. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These were words that were prophesied of the Lord when he gave his son, of the Lord's, his only begotten son when he came. These were all the things he's going to be. So I want to ask us the question this morning, what is the Lord's gift doing for you today? What is he doing? I think of this probably every time Christmas time rolls around and I hear all these songs, but this year it seems like the Lord has just specially inspired it to my heart that we understand what the Lord's gift is and that we utilize it and that we make use of it. You realize this is the answer to the world's problems? Do you realize that this is what will fix the social issues? It'll fix the prejudices, it'll fix the division and the hatred and the grudges and the deep-seated feelings that have been in place maybe for hundreds of years. The gospel is that powerful. The Isaiah in the 61st chapter, we'll read a few verses there. This is what Isaiah prophesied that the Lord was going to do. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We got any brokenhearted people in the world today? To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Do we have anybody that's bound in the world today? Folks, this is the answer. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all to that mourn. Does that sound like a strange verse to throw in? The day of vengeance? Here we're talking about somebody that's going to come and heal a brokenhearted and bind up the wounds and let all the captives out of the prison. And then it says that this is the day of vengeance of our God. I would like to tie this before I make any more comment on that. We won't turn there, but 1 John 3 and 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God has never been about, God has never been against people themselves, but the world was in darkness, enslaved by the power of the devil. And when it says the day of vengeance, it's talking about Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. There certainly was a day of vengeance. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And when Jesus came, he gave us power to be able to cast the devil and his works out of our lives and live to where our light can shine in the darkest of nights, in the driest of deserts. Isaiah, I didn't get this, but Isaiah 41 compares us to an oasis. I flew across the Sahara Desert last year on my way to Kenya. And I flew for miles and miles and miles. It's amazing how big that thing is. We were going over 500 miles an hour, and my view out the window didn't really change much for 3 solid hours. You know what an oasis is? It's a place in the very middle of all that, where water springs come up and where palm trees grow, where there's shade and coolness because of the trees that grow there that are alive because of the source of water that's there right in the middle of all the desert. And that's what Jesus came to bring us, where we could be that to a lost and hurting world. I hope you can understand. I hope I'm communicating the beautiful picture that I have in my mind this morning. So back to the old prophets. You know, Isaiah looked on that. And I think that these people that were in contact with God were just yearning and longing for the day when this was all going to come. God did not just simply, you know, God has different purposes. We talk about killing 2 birds with 1 stone. God kills many birds with 1 stone. Everything works together to accomplish His plan. And the reason, I believe one of the reasons that He gave these people this inspiration to write the things that He did was this, He was showing him His heart. Think about Abraham. If you'll give me a little bit of liberty, I want to give a few conjectures of some of the motives that God had when He showed the old patriarch some of the things that He did. He said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. You think God wasn't trying to communicate and to share His heart with Abraham a little bit? God gave His only son. God experienced the sorrow. God experienced all of that. And Abraham was His friend. Why wouldn't you want to share your heart with your friend? But everything that He did was pointing ahead to something greater. And it said that they looked forward to that, even though they hadn't received the promise. How would they look forward to it if they didn't know what was going to happen? And they didn't even understand it. How would they do it? Think about Jacob. You know, there was a time in Jacob's life where God really couldn't commune with him like He wanted to. He told him on the way he was fleeing from his brother. And God said, God showed him a vision of a ladder going up to heaven and angels going up and down. And He said, if you will serve me, I'm going to be with you. Jacob got right up from there and he said, if, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit disappointed with Jacob's answer here. He said, if the Lord will give me food to eat and bread and clothes to put on, then I'm going to serve him. Then he went right on and started wheeling and dealing with his uncle and did this and that. But he had another visit from the Lord. And his name was still Jacob, which means supplanter, deceiver. The Lord had not, the scripture talks about the patriarchs having seen these things afar off, but Jacob didn't see these things at one point in his life. He came and he wrestled with the angel. The Lord said, return and I'll be with you. So Jacob started going back, but he had a rendezvous with the Son of God and wrestled with him, and the Lord said, what's your name? And Jacob said, deceiver. And the Lord said, not anymore. You're going to be called Israel. You know, I don't believe that that was just an arbitrary conferment that the angel, that the Lord gave him. But Jacob had been making some changes in his heart. And the Lord said, as a prince, you had power with God and man and has prevailed. Remember what happened after that? He gave birth to a son named Joseph, which in my opinion, I've studied this, and this is one of the most powerful illustrations of what Jesus was going to make. Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll give me some liberty, I'm making these conjectures here, but can't we all agree that the Lord wanted him, the Lord wanted people to know him? I think we can establish that, but I want to give a few other conjectures here. Jacob had a son named Joseph after all of this happened, and the Lord had brought about events that I believe helped Jacob to see what was going to happen. Jacob made prophecies too. The scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Do you think that he was just laying there in the bed and that he said words he didn't know what he was saying, and the Spirit of the Lord just overpowered him and forced him to say things that he had no idea? The Lord communed with Jacob. The Lord wanted him, and it said that those people, that they looked forward in Hebrews 11 and they embraced these things, and then they said, I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. But we today don't have to say we're the same thing. We're pilgrims and strangers, but we've been redeemed. Yeah. Joseph was hated by his brothers, but the Lord brought him to a place. Think about what Bethlehem means. Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus was the living bread. And he was hated by all his brethren, yet he saved the world. Joseph was hated by his brethren, and he fed the world with bread. Is that not this? Even his coat, folks. If you'll just give me a little bit of liberty here to conjecture here, but I believe I've seen enough scripture here. I could talk more about this, but we don't have time. I'm going somewhere else. Jacob made him a coat of many colors. Jesus was the true light that came into the world, and his light shines through us where we illuminate the rest of the world through the light that Jesus came to bring. And there are many indications in the scripture that we are compared to prisms. And what do prisms do? They split that light into all of its components, but it isn't our light. It's the light of Jesus that shines through us. Does the light shine? I have to think that there were purposes in the things that God did with the patriarchs so that they could see, this is what I'm going to bring later and how wonderful it's going to be. I want to read another scripture in Jeremiah 31 and 31. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." This language, those phrases are found throughout the Bible. All I want to do you ever wonder why the Lord made us the way that He did, where we have a choice? The Lord doesn't. It says that the heavens praise Him. And the sun and the moon and the stars praise Him. They praise Him because they tell a story of who He is and because they operate in the exact same way that He set them to. But we don't necessarily. We have a choice. We can go His way or we can go our own way. And the Lord made it that way so that He could commune with us and be our God. And we would be His people. It was the greatest desire of His heart from the beginning of time. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For listen to this. They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." I hope this isn't too fragmented this morning. I'd like to turn back to 1 John. I'm sorry, I'd like to go to the book of John, St. John 14 and 27. Remember what they called the Messiah? The Prince of Peace. What does that mean to us this morning? I'm not talking about some sort of abstract concept that we can look at and with head knowledge and say, that sounds really good. I'm talking about something that is the antidote to all the works that have been perpetrated by the devil from the beginning of time. John 14 and 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We won't turn there, but Philippians 4 and 7 says, 4 and 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There was a reason why it said that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Because He came to bestow it on you and me, where we don't have to be rich, we don't have to have everything going right in our life and all of our ducks in a row. And we think about the people in North Korea. You think they're eligible for this peace too? They certainly are. In their prison cell, in their torture chamber, wherever they're at, the Lord can be with them, and He does, and He will be with us too. I didn't expect 2020 to be the year that it has been. And I've seen things on Facebook and other places, take back 2020. Let's wait for this to get over because I want to start a new year. Folks, the next year might be even worse. We don't know what it might be better and it might be worse. But one thing that we know as Christians is that we have the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Doesn't matter who wins the election. Doesn't matter what kind of laws and mandates come. Doesn't matter if we lose every last one of our freedoms to do this or that. Doesn't matter what the economy does. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you because He's the Prince of Peace. You know what else God is? He's love. He doesn't just have love, He is love. So let's turn to 1 John 4 and the 7th verse. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and" what? "Knoweth God." He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Thank you. One more. I want to get one more scripture, and then we'll talk a little bit about this. Maybe we won't turn there. I'll just read it. In Ephesians 3 and 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." He wants us to know some things. You understand? There are some things He wants us to be able to comprehend. And then it says, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." You know, I want to say that one of the main characteristics that define false religion is that it takes away and conceals the true character of God. But if God wanted people to know Him in the Old Testament, if He gave the prophets and the patriarchs things by which that they could know who He is in limited detail, don't you think that He wants us to know Him today? It says, "For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest." Now, what do you think it means to know the Lord? Some people say, "Well, you know, I have a personal relationship with God, and the Bible says to work out your own salvation, so what I do is just, it's my business." And folks, there's more to having a relationship than just having an emotional high and feeling good. It says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know what that means? It means that it's something that nobody, you can't manufacture it. When Jesus said, "Love your enemies," you know, I can be nice to anybody. And anybody can be civil. Anybody can be polite. Anybody can do what's fair. But for your heart, for the feelings of your heart to be replaced with something that doesn't have anything to do with bitterness or a grudge or something, you know, I've held grudges too in my lifetime. I know what it's all about. But I thank the Lord that He came by and let me out of the prison that I was in. Has the Lord let you out of any prisons? Maybe He needs to let you out of some if you haven't. You know, and it doesn't. We grow. The Lord has opened one door after another for me in my spiritual experience. That I've been let out of prisons I didn't know I was in. You know, the Israelites did the same thing when they conquered Canaan, and He said, "I'm going to drive your giants out little by little." But I want you to get a hold of one thought this morning. Where they lived, they possessed. They didn't coexist with the giants and have them in their backyard and in their woodworking shops and in their grape vineyards. Wherever they needed to possess and they had the resources to do it, they possessed those things and drove the giants out. And so I'm not saying that when we have giants in our lives that we should just keep them around. When we know they're there and when the Spirit of the Lord has revealed them to us, that's when the time is to drive that giant out. But the Lord said, "I came to open the prison house." I want us to get a hold of this morning. How are you going to tell people, "I know the Lord," if you don't know what His love really is? Or what His peace really is? To know the Lord is to know His properties. What do you think would be the very best way to be acquainted with the Lord? It's for the Lord. He is love. He is light. He is all these things. And what better way for us to know the Lord than for Him to put into our hearts the same kind of love that He has? The light from God for Him to shine and reflect through us so we can say, "I know God is love because I can feel it myself. I know the Lord because I'm a partaker of His love." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If the people that, I heard one person tell me one time, you know, there's really not any much difference between a Christian and somebody that's not, except that the Christian's forgiven. Folks, that's a depressing message this morning. The Lord wants to give us something that we can say, I know the Lord, because the Bible says that God is love, and it's not just an abstract concept that I can tell people, brother, God is love, but I can feel it. And I can express it. How are you going to describe something to somebody and say, this is how it is, if you don't even really understand how it works? Song says, peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. Folks, I want us to just get a hold of this morning, that the Lord came to open the prison houses and bind up the brokenhearted. If you are living this morning in a place where you're in prisons and you know that you're in them, I know that there's a place for growth, but just remember that where the Israelites lived, they possessed. And where we live this morning, we can possess too. Thank the Lord. You all pray for me.